In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just as we begin the day in the church, in the evening, as it says in Scripture, in Genesis, in the evening and the morning was the first day. And that's how the days were marked and recognized in the first century still, in the time of Christ and the apostles. And the same thing goes for the way that we mark the year. In the time of Christ and the apostles, the year began on September 1st. And this was not just the Jewish year, the Hebrew year, this was also the civil year. This is when the Romans began the year. So when Jesus went home to his hometown, and whenever he was in his hometown, he always went on the Sabbath to the synagogue, and it was his custom to read. You remember that in Scripture, when he was even a young boy, he went to the synagogue and taught, and people were amazed. And so evidently it had become the normal thing that when Jesus was in Nazareth, he would go to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he would read. And on this occasion, he goes there on a special day. He's come home to his hometown at the beginning of the year, and he goes to the prophet Isaiah. And there he reads the prophecy of Isaiah, that one will come who will heal the sick and who will comfort the afflicted, the poor, that he will heal those whose heel has been bruised. It's a clear reference to Eve in the garden. Satan will bruise their heel. Our lives are bruised by the bite of missing the mark, the bite of sin, our inability to be able to live our lives as we desire to. There is in all of us the desire to live our life as our life ought to be lived. But there is a poison in us that causes us to follow in the image and likeness of the rebellious angel to try to establish ourselves on our own. And Christ has come into the world in order to heal that wound, that bruise. It is a proclamation at the beginning of the year. It's said that in the Old Testament, the Jews entered into the promised land on the first day of the new year. All of those things about a new beginning, they apply to this beginning, to the beginning of this, the liturgical year, the year of the life of the church, the year of the cycle of our spiritual lives in the church. The promise of renewal in the civil year today, on the 1st of January, people sometimes make resolutions about what they're going to do. But here, Christ has come with power and authority and the ability to change all things, as it was prophesied that someone would come, and he has the power, the ability, the capacity to change all of that for the entire human race. The fact that it is the civil year, the year as it is observed by Rome, serves to emphasize that this is a new beginning of life that is open to all human beings everywhere. Not just to the Jews, not just to the Hebrews, but to everyone. In the last reading of the three readings from the Gospels that we heard today, the second reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, Jesus is talking to the people, and he tells them, all things that I do, all that I have, is given to me by the Father. When he says given, how is the Son of God given what he is given by the Father? Our understanding of this is that all of the things that he is given by the fact that he is begotten by the Father. His abilities, his capacities, all of the power and authority that he has are exercised in humility because they are given by the Father. They are not his power. They are not his authority. Those things are all begotten in him by the Father. It's a condition of complete and total humility. The eternally begotten Son of God assumes our humanity and reveals to us what it means to be a Son of God. If we are going to be like God, we must share the sonship of Jesus Christ. We must have begotten in us, through Christ, from the Father, all of the ability that we have to do what is good and right and just and pure and noble. None of those things come from us. Christ himself, the incarnate Son of God, says that all that I have and all that I do is shown to me and given to me by the Father. He comes into the world in order to establish that relationship between ourselves and God. Our problem is that we are constantly trying to be the fathers of our own lives, the Lord and Master of our destiny. When we come to confession, we confess our sins and we want to improve our ability to lead our own lives. We want to go back and try harder to be God, the Father, the source and origin of all of the things in our lives. And we ignore the fact that God, the Son of God, became incarnate, took all of our humanity into himself and perfected it, showed us what the perfection of our humanity is like. And it is perfect by being a Son of God, not the source, not the origin, but the Son of God. If we are called to be sons and daughters of God, then we must be one with the sonship of Christ. That is what God reveals to us about our humanity. That is the kind of humility that he reveals wherever he goes, whatever he does. Now this day, the first day of the year, when Jesus goes to the synagogue, it's the first revelation of himself. And as the one who is the anointed of God, as the one who is the Son of God, he makes that first revelation of himself amongst those who have known him as he grew up, those who still think of him as the carpenter's son. The next verse after the final verse we read this morning is the question that one person at the synagogue asks another. Isn't this Joseph's son? Joseph, the carpenter? Don't we know who he is? And there is a return to living in the world as it is broken, as we are unable to fulfill our lives. Isn't this just somebody we know? Does it make any difference that he is saying these things and he is able to do the things that he will show that he can do? Or is he just some wonder worker? Often these days, when the New Testament is read, that's how it's read. That way it fits into the broken world that we live in, where each of us dominates our own lives. And we're Christians. We believe in the Bible. We believe in God. We believe in Jesus Christ. I'm saved, aren't you? But meanwhile, we have complete and total control of our own lives. And that's the kind of thing that the people in the synagogue were doing when Jesus the Christ returned home and revealed himself first to those who knew him. If we are able to be like God only by being like his Son, then the strength and power of his divine humility is what we need to turn to if we are going to overcome all of our sins, all of our shortcomings, all of our difficulties. not to make the effort to engage our own will, except to the degree that we will ourselves to affirm humility, that we will ourselves to affirm God, that we will ourselves to turn away from the temptation to be like Satan and put ourselves in the place of God the Father. That humility is what Christ revealed. That humility and repentance and reaffirmation of that humility is the only way that we can share in the divine sonship of God Himself. When it comes to the rest of creation, God's divine energies constantly sustain all the earth, all of the living things of the world. They're not a machine, they're not a mechanism, even a biological mechanism. We know that the living presence of the divine energies of God, the grace of God, is what makes things live in the world that He has created. All things are sustained by God Himself. And it is the same with a human being. Now, we lost that when the first parents turned away from God and began to copy the rebel against God, Satan. But now it is restored to us by Christ through Him. In order for a human being to live from God's life, it's not like the other things of the world. It's not like the animals or like the plants, the living things of the world. That life has got to pass from God through us from the inside. That's what we lost the ability to do. But Christ comes and restores that. Here is the first one, the new Adam, the Son of God, who makes us sons of God. It's said by, I think it's Basil the Great, that we are able to be closer to God and live more fully from Him than even the first parents were. We think we had fallen, we're incapable of living the lives that we are called to live in order to be fulfilled. But it's not true. That is a temptation of the devil. His last card, his last trick, to encourage us to despair. The fact is that we are more capable as human beings of living at one with God and living from His life than the first created human beings were. Even though they came fresh from His hand, we are more able to do that because we have the new Adam, the one who proclaims himself on this first day of the year. All of our humanity has already been fulfilled in Him. And Adam and Eve, they were just starting out. They had so far to go, all of that spiritual way. And they turned back. But with Christ, all of it has been accomplished. All we have to do is share in it. All we have to do is repent of our self-reliance and live as sons of God by sharing in His sonship. Every individual human being has the ability to be able to do this because of what Christ has accomplished. It's the only way that any of us, each one of us, can be fulfilled. Our humanity is fulfilled, but it has to be fulfilled by each person for themselves so that we can be that person that we are. Jacob or James or Charles or Ruth or Carol, that particular person living as a son and daughter of God. That is possible. He has made it possible. He has healed the wound to our heel. He has come to fill those who are poor of spirit. There is no spirit in us. St. Seraphim of Sarov says that the Christian life is about gathering the Holy Spirit. Those who are poor of spirit have no spirit of God in them. We rely on ourselves. We are poor. We try to gather the things of the world instead. Christ has come in order to give the poor of spirit all of the treasure that they need. All of these things are promised on this first day of the church year. So let us resolve to reconsider our lives in the light of this proclamation of Christ. In modern terms, we might say that what he proclaimed was life, liberty, and the pursuit of holiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.